Well, howdy, partner. Welcome to Chimpeons to Deadlands Reloaded, an actual play podcast telling the story of three drifters using the Savage Worlds rules and Deadlands Reloaded setting. This episode is sponsored by our patrons, Inner Cube TV, Ben Styles, Stuart McQueen, Tayshul, and Doug Blath. And now that's out of the way, on with the show. So yeah, as the, you know, the last of the blood men go down, and
I did take a hit though, didn't I?
During the course of the combat, you in fact took quite a few wounds, but you managed to soak most of them.
Yeah, I was left with one. Yeah, that's right.
And then
yeah.
Reverend Allen healed that one.
Mm. Oh, did he?
So he did.
Cool. Yes.
I've just took it off and then put it back on again. Right.
Yes, Reverend Allen, revealing his sort of cooled the very stuff that was sprayed all over you, and it almost turned into a healing balm on it, all of its own. So feel free to just consider it's cool mud that's done it, Wolf, not Reverend Allen, if you want to go there.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Spirita in front of us.
So, yeah, as you know, as that settles, you get time to take a quick breath and, you know, sort of survey the scene in a little bit more detail. So, yeah, this huge, rocky, sort of humanoid form is suspended above this large pit of what looks like to be bubbling magma, sort of spread eagles, with these sort of chains of bluish energy that lead nowhere. They just sort of, you know, slowly fade at, you know, the ends of where the chains are and just disappear. They're not actually secured to anything that you can see. You'd also see now, you actually can pay proper attention, that the pool below it seems to be fed by the very creature suspended above it. So there seems to be gouges and wounds, you know, in its legs, you know, in its thighs and calves. You know, sort of flowing magma is coming out of its body and feeding this pool below it.
Is it kind of spread eagled over the pool? Or?
So it's I see what you mean. No, it's upright but above the pool, if you see what I mean. Almost, think of it like a crucifixion type thing.
Right,
no,
okay.
Cross.
wasn't Cheval on a platform?
Yeah.
So there's a spur of rock coming out slightly above the pool.
Is it level with that spur?
No, it'd be slightly below.
I'm going to go and climb up onto that platform, onto the spur.
So yeah, as you start, you know, thinking what we're going to do, and all that, you know, this being, sort of its mouth not moving, says, "Thank you, young ones.
How can we free you?"
Whoa!
The only way to break this bondage is to kill that pale face who holds the keys.
Would that be the pale face with the big red beard?
It is, yes.
And where is he?
And he sort of nods down, you know, looks down at this huge pool of magma below him. And he says he has travelled through this portal he has made.
Can we follow him?
Most of my power is drawn by this pale face, but when he isn't here, I have some control over my powers and this pool. So I believe I can send you after him.
Sounds like a trap to me.
He plans to change these lands for his savior. But even I can see the spirit he believes guides him is not the one he believes it is.
How did you come to be be captured great spirit?
He was able somehow to harness the energy of my Nemesis, the spirit of the sky. And with that, he was able to forge these bonds and then draw my powers for his own.
Look at Wolf. Does that mean anything to you, Mr. Wolf?
Don't know. Do I know that the spirits are against each other then?
If you think about it, it's like sort of simple nature, man. Magic, yeah, more opposites and all that. Everything in balance and, you know, everything having its place and all that. But the spirits are the embodiment of that. So they're opposite powers, as it were. Mm. They both, you know, and from a Native American's point of view, they both need to exist. And probably them warring is probably seen as being just part of the natural balance as well. In fact, if they weren't, it would probably be seen as a problem that they weren't resisting each other. But so, yeah, I would say it sounds reasonable. You're no shaman.
Yes, Jebediah, this seems to be speaking the truth.
So you're happy to pass through this portal and see if we can get hold of old Redbeard?
If the spirit says we can, I think we should. Otherwise, it's 4 hours to ride back. Your flock at the theatre might be dead by then.
What about you, Reverend?
Now then, that Cheval was saying that he was going to go and cause a havoc. And if he can get there instantaneously, then maybe we should follow. But I don't know whether this is a demon that is playing with your mind so that you jump into the pits and turn into one of them godforsaken creatures. I'll get out my crucifix and present it to him. Look upon this foul creature. Show your true worth. Show me what you really are. And I'll present my cross at him.
Yeah, you present your cross at him and nothing changes.
I'm gonna try and channel the Lord through it. I'm going to do a spirit roll to see if I can feel any hokum. I want to see if the Lord is with me or if he's not looking upon me at this moment. Oh, I made it with a race. So.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, 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 nice, nice.
Well, I have a feeling that you ain't no demon. That's for sure.
Maybe he's an angel, Reverend.
Well, he ain't like no angel I never seen. Not that I've seen him in the flesh, so to speak.
I've seen a few.
Wolf, do you speak for this creature?
I do. Spirit of Earth, how do we travel through this portal?
I shall have to gather my strength and allow you to pass through.
Do so, then.
What do you think, Jebediah? Do you think this is a devil or an angel?
I've come to rely on Mr. Wolf's instincts, and I've got the feeling this is more of an aspect of an angel than a creature of Beelzebub. Just to recapitulate, Mark, because I know you sent a text or an email just clarifying something. Was this creature kind of offering inducements to for us to free it? Or you said there was perhaps a bit of confusion in the last session.
In the vision that we had, I'm sure it said, free me and you will be rewarded.
Yeah, it says, yeah, words to that effect, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that the vision we had in the Mesa?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, I see. Okay, cool. But not since we've been in this cavern. Okay.
However, a reward could be that it is for the good of the land and the people within it, not necessarily a trinket.
So yeah, and as you're talking, you see the pool, the bubbling in the pool is starting to slow. You know, it's starting to become more placid, and as that's slowly happening, it sort of says, it sort of thinks. Whilst I do this, you have a choice to make, young wolf. I see promise in the paths you may walk, but I also see a great pride within you that you must leave behind to become who you are truly meant to be. In my own small way, I may ease this path for you, but there must remain balance in all things, and my gift will come at a price that even I cannot foresee. that sort of almost unvoiced question hangs in the air.
Don't worry, Wolf. The Reverend's loaded. Any price, you won't have to worry to meet it.
I think the sacrifice of my pride can be left behind to follow the path for the earth. And I will do this.
If you're quick, you may, all three, you may step through. Instead of it being this sort of slightly swirling magma, you see there's like a kaleidoscope of images swirling over the surface. You see, like, you get a glimpse of what must be the general store, as if you were, like, peeking in through the windows. You see that there's, you know, bare shelves, far too much mould. And can you also make me a notice roll, actually?
Yes, I made it.
Yes.
Make it.
There's also a till on its side that looks like it's been probably prized open at some point. And so these images just kaleidoscoping around like a 1970s TV special effect. You see what looks like is probably a doctor's surgery, you know, the operating table and all that. Again, the place you've never been. You also see the tap room of the 6 feet under. Like you were stood behind the bar, but the image is all sort of splintered and jagged. And you also see a view of the street outside the marshal's office. The main pointer, as you can see, two deputies sat on the porch, you know, with their feet up on the rail. And then last but not least, you see a view of the church as if you were stood at the altar. You see Cheval is stood with his back to you, you know, his red hair sort of giving him away quite easily. It seems to be sort of just gesticulating with some gusto to, you know, these sort of rust-robed vergers that he's brought with them, who seem to be busily sort of shuffling around in front of him, dragging pews back away to the sides of the walls or further down the church, and then that sort of cuts out as well as you step in, unless anyone's not going.
Yeah.
As soon as he said, you may step through.
Well, you know, it's not, they're not coming up nice like slide after slide. They're all scattered around the surface of the pool. So yeah, as you step in, you feel like a sensation of being, you know, as you touch the surface of being like sucked in for moments that it lasts, you feel like your body's being sort of stretched, you know, to its limits and beyond, while at the same time being crushed into a, you know, impossibly small space, and waves of heat and terrible cold play over the whole of your bodies, you know, flesh sort of burning with both fire and cold all at the same time.
Sounds like a singularity.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not the most pleasant.
And the Spirit of the Lord, protect me.
Let's go Reverend Ellen first.
Roll new characters.
And yeah, and as all that sensation happens, because it's unspeakably painful for a brief moment, Reverend Allen, for a second you find yourself standing in the cloisters watching, I was going to say our preacher, but it's obviously Reverend Cheval, preaching his sermon. You know, his words are filled with reverence and praise for the Lord, but the message below it stinks of corruption and evil. And the entrapped congregation seem to be blind to the numerous tethers of gore-slicked sinew that run to the puppet master above the preacher. It's like a sort of desiccated, gnarled being holds them. Might once have been human by its shape, but it's, you know, gnarled and twisted. No real traces of humanity left in its eyes as they meet yours, or in its voice as it smiles at you and through those smiling lips says, "Amen, brother, amen."
Yeah.
And then the image is gone. Jebediah, yeah, you have a similar sort of experience. For a brief moment, you know, you're amongst a virulent yet sickening woodland glade. There's a familiar figure sat in a distorted and slightly rotting tree stump in front of you. Jebediah, don't underestimate it. They hold a stronger hand than we do, and they cheat. And if it finishes what it started, then get the hell out of there. I'm told it can take a very long time to find a new partner, and it's no fun in here on your own. And it's gone. And then last but not least is Wolf. So yeah, again, Wolf, you get sort of an image as you pass through as well. You know, for a fleeting second, you see a large sort of timber wolf basking in a tranquil pool in sort of a nice warm summer glade. You know, this warm sun on its fur. A trio of birds are flying overhead, a small finch, an eagle and a buzzard, circling in sort of like a never-ending spiral, all chasing one another. And then from the banks, there's observing, you know, sort of the whole scene is sort of a large, grizzled old brown bear. The wolf stands and pads out of the pool, shaking its coat dry. And then with one last look back at the scene, it sort of lopes off towards a city in the distance that's covered in belching smoke and, you know, all the signs of, you know, sort of in the detritus of industry around it. And then somewhere deep down within, you know, its psyche, the wolf takes one last look back at the oasis, realizing that, you know, the only way to sort of preserve what it's leaving behind is maybe to never return. And then I need you all to roll a d20, please. I'll tell you in advance, whoever gets lowest will automatically get one. Unless someone actually rolls one.
12.
Oh.
Hey. That's interesting.
Did you roll a... Okay.
I used the D20 button up there. That's an exploding one, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's still there, yeah.
Wolf?
Still rolled a one.
5.
First of all, Wolf, you might want to do this now or after the session or whatever. Your old ways hindrance has dropped by a level because it was major, wasn't it, I think? So it's now minor. If it was minor, it's gone completely.
Mm.
I'm just moving you to the picture of Coffin Rock. So,
okay.
What did you get, Jebediah?
I got a 12.
You're going to see where this is going really quick.
Yeah.
And Wolf, what did you get?
Got 5.
You got 5, so you're not too spread out. You all sort of pop out. Jebediah. Oh, that's interesting. Sorry, I'm going to have to get you to roll again, Jebediah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, I should have taken account of that in advance. I apologise. The blacksmith is probably the one place you couldn't have come out. Because he's blacked all his windows.
Ah.
11.
Next door.
So Wolf, you're in the bar because you've not been in there before. But it's it's abandoned. Nothing particularly in there that I think we need to worry about at this point in time. So number 11, which is where Jebediah is the... Oh, that's a doctor's surgery. So yeah.
Hurrah!
Wolf, obviously, you land okay. There's no problems with anything, but you've almost been spat out of what must be the mirror, you know, in front of the barber's chair. Jebediah, similarly, you know, you've been spat out into what appears to be the doctor's operating room from one of the mirrors used to, you know, to get a better view into a patient, as it were. Sorry, I'm sure there's a better way of putting that. And last but not least is Reverend Allen, who is spat out of, the reflection of the gun case at the back of the marshal's office. Probably Jebediah and Wolf, you may be finding it really hard to work out where you are in relation to the whole of Coffin Rock. Reverend Allen, I think, it's pretty obvious you're in the marshal's office, so I think you'd have an idea of where you were. First of all, can you all have a Benny for taking the risk of going through that thing?
Thank you. I wasn't even aware there was a surgeon's place, so I've got no idea I'm in Coffin Rock.
That's very true, actually, to be fair.
But we did say that's what Chevelle said, he's going to Coffin Rock to reap his wrath or whatever.
Well, fair enough, but I can't assume that this portal's...
You're just in somewhere strange, aren't you?
Yeah.
wherever that is.
Have a quick rifle round, see what I can find.
Jebediah and Wolf, can you both roll me notice rolls, and then I'll explain to Reverend Allen what's going on.
Yeah, I made it.
Yes.
So yeah, Wolf and Jebediah, you know, you spat out into these buildings. Wolf, I think it'd be fair to say you do realise definitely you're in Coffin Rock. You've never been in the barber shop. You might have glanced through the windows when you did that circuit around with Jebediah at first. But of course, it's all open, you know, glass fronted, so it's easy to see. You know, you can see points that you recognise. Jebediah, yeah, you're in a slightly different scenario in that you're in an enclosed room, but you both clearly hear quite a lot of gunshots going off outside. Wolf, what did you make yours by? I would say that, yeah, you can tell it's, you know, the street, and you would probably remember that. So, you know, roughly what's up there, the marshal's office and the saloon as well, it's up there. Reverend Allen, you're spat out into what's the marshal's office. You can see, you know, through the barred windows that in the street it appears as, you know, a couple of dead deputies. It also appears as a woman face down in the middle of the street, also looking, you know, dead or dying. Across the road, there seems to be a half a dozen people. I think make me a notice roll to see if you twig that they're all what they are.
Yeah, made it.
Yeah, it looks like there's half a dozen armed women across the street. I mean, they're all dressed like they, you know, for the trail. They're not wearing bloody petticoats and stuff, but they're all definitely all women. And inside the marshal's office, but literally just going out the door now, is Marshal Bryce, one of his deputies that you haven't met before, and then the one with the huge scar down his face, Vandergarden. And Bryce is, you know, herding them out. Get out, those fucking women. As Vandergarden, you know, slips out one way, Bryce, literally, as the other deputy is slipping out, grabs him by the scruff of the neck and uses him as a shield to take the flak of bullets that he gets as he steps out Marshal's office. Yeah, you see this other poor deputy, you know, he's just getting riddled with bullets.
Oh, got to die.
Oh, that's a nice piece of work he is. Yeah.
Reverend Allen, what do you want to do? They seem to be blissfully unaware of you at the moment.
Well, they will know me. actually, a gang of women. Do I recognise any of them? Anyone from the town?
No, they're ducked behind, you know, the building across the way is sort of semi-derelict. But yeah, they position themselves with some, you know, the good old horse troughs and barrels.
Yeah. I would say, gentlemen, what the hell do you think you're doing?
So yeah, Bryce's head snaps round.
Are they out the door?
Vandergarden is literally out the door, and Bryce is just, you know, moving to the other side of the outside of the door, now pretty much holding up the corpse of his other deputy.
Could be the best flanking manoeuvre ever.
So, I think probably now is time to start chucking cards around, isn't it?
Probably.
So first is Deputy Vandergarden, second is Marshal Bryce, oh my god. Third is Shelley herself, which is, yeah, the woman across the road is Shelley and her gang. So Shelley's gang members are next. Oh my god, you poor guys are last. It's Jebediah, Reverend Allen and Wolf.
Just mop up.
Deputy Vandergarden. He is just going to take a pot shot at one of the ladies, I'm afraid. Although he's been slightly distracted, so I'm going to give him a slight neck for that. So, nice move, Reverend Allen.
I surprised him. Hopefully I surprised them both.
apologies, if you were trying to just say that and then do something and take advantage of the fact that you got the, you know, you caught them slightly off guard, then do that now, please. Honestly, that was just me jumping the gun.
Yeah, I mean, I've got minimal stealth in that, but I was trying to draw their attention to, yeah, surprise them.
Yeah, yeah, you did exactly. You've done that. You have drawn their attention. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give them a neg to their shooting. Unfortunately, Bryce is on the handy side.
Yeah.
So Vandergarden tries to shoot one of these women. They do have partial cover as well. So that's 8, 6, 4. So he will hit. Their toughness is... Oh, it's 5. So, yeah, he manages to catch one with a couple of splinters, but, you know, not... He doesn't hit him dead on. Bryce, still using his deputy's corpse as a shield, he's going to take a shot at Shelley herself. He shoots. Does he score? But he's distracted, so that's and she's undercover, so he'll just miss. Yeah, I'm going to blow one of Bryce's bennies. He's going to roll that again. Oh!
Damn shame.
So, yeah, he shoots, but unfortunately, again, you know, close, but just ends up spraying with bits of shrapnel rather than actually shooting her. Shelley herself returns fire, and yeah, she is definitely after Bryce. Shelley shoots and misses. She is... I'm going to blow one of the group white bennies for Shelley here. So, 7. Bryce has got shield, so that's 5. She hits him. Best roll of damage. Oh, also, sorry, Reverend Alan, I forgot to mention, you do see that Bryce looks like he's already been nicked once already. 10 damage. She's going to blow a blue Benny. And she's going to add a d6 to that damage. So that's 15. Bryce's toughness is 6. So that's 4. So that's enough to shake him. So that was Shelley. Next it's her. it's Shelley's gang. So there's 5 of them. I think they're all going to go for Vandergarden because I think Shelley would have told them Bryce is mine. So Shelley's gang, not Shelley. Here we go. So 5 shot. So the first 9. So that hits with a raise. Second one misses. Third one hits with a raise.
A raise.
Fourth one hits.
Hits.
Fifth one hits.
So 1 hit, 2 raises, and a hit. Oh, sorry, 2 hits and 2 raises.
So the normal hit.
So the first. They just pepper him with bullets.
So let me just check Vandergarden's toughness. I just want to know how long it takes before they cut him to ribbons. His toughness is 5. So the first one hits him for 15. So that's 10. So that's 2 wounds and shaken. So the first one takes him down. But let's just roll the other 2 for shits and giggles. As they say. So the second one, and this is with the extra dice for damage.
That's 19.
Does 19. And then the third one, he does 7. You know, he's trying to duck to cover, but you know, when you've got 6 people shooting at you in a very small space, he just goes down in a rain of bullets, and he definitely isn't incapacitated. He is definitely dead as fried chicken.
and distracted.
Yeah.
Well, he's very distracted, yeah. So next is Jebediah. You can hear all these, you know. There's obviously a fairly hefty shootout going off somewhere pretty close to where you are.
Okay, I will move into the next room, assuming there's a door.
You go through one door and come out into what must be, you know, the doctor's office. There is actually a gentleman in here, quite a well-dressed, probably around the same age as Reverend Alan, probably trying to somewhat as dapper as you are, Jebediah, I think. He looks very shocked that you just stepped out of his operating theatre. Sir?
Is there a window?
So, yeah, you can see there's obviously a door to the main street. You see outside the window, you realise you're in Coffin Rock. You can see the marshal's office, the derelict building across the way. You can see in the derelict building have positioned themselves what look like a group of bandits who are firing wholeheartedly at the marshal's office. You probably just come out in time to see that deputy with a big scar down his face, who was quite dismissive of you when you were trying to talk to him, go down in a hail of gunfire. You also see there's a couple of other deputies down and dying or dead in the street, and it also looks like there's a woman dead in the middle of the street as well. Again, she seems to be, you know, dressed for the trail.
Are they wearing dusters?
Just roll me a notice roll if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. I will get back to the surprise surgeon in a
Yeah, you take all this in a second as you sort of step through, because the gunfire is so loud, it obviously draws your attention.
I noticed everything in Coffin Rock.
Yeah, you did say that. So yeah, you also see that Bryce is outside the office, holding what looks like another one of his deputies in front of him by the scruff of the neck. But you can see the strain in his shoulder and arms. He's holding up what is now a limp body and is, you know, using it as a moving shield as he's taking pot shots. And across the street, you see, yeah, there's about half a dozen women entrenched themselves in the derelict building across the way. And you clearly see, you know, because she stood up, pistol in hand, Shelley Pearl cocking a pistol, ready to take another shot at Bryce.
Love to
see
it.
Yeah, while in the background somewhere, you can hear some doctor twittering on about, excuse me, sir, what are you doing, Mike? Especially since there's no windows in the operating theatre either. It's not like you climbed in through a window.
Love to see gangs of women with firearms. Fantastic.
Getting their own back on the local bully.
Definitely. I'll quickly turn to the surgeon and say, there might be lead in the air. You better get yourself beneath your desk, and you'll be needed later.
He looks shocked and confused, but just complies.
I mean, I'll roll a persuasion if you want.
All things considered, I don't think you need that.
So there's a window onto the that sort of shows the
Bryce's.
Yeah. So I'm going to kneel by the window, and I'm going to attempt to call on the power of the Lord for any teammates who are listening. And I'm going to ask the good Lord to lower Marshall Bryce's toughness.
Oh, nice.
Let me see if I get it off. A card appears in Jebediah's hand. This is a card from the missile. It's just like a bookmark, really. Something he uses to keep the relevant verse ready to hand.
Nice thinking. You can have a penny for that one, man.
Well, go on then. I won't say no.
Yeah, don't turn them down. You might need them.
Ooh, and I made it with a raise.
So does that mean it takes it down 2 points rather than...
Let me see what I should have said. Actually, I didn't, so it's too late. But
I'm happy enough if my players say, I meant to do that, but I forgot. I'm sorry.
I mean,
say,
I would have liked to make it... So I wanted to make it strong, so I'm going to spend 3 points.
Okay.
So
yeah,
what
yeah,
this
but...
does is... lower trait by one or two dice to minimum d4. Target recovers one die on a successful spirit roll at the end of the round. All dice on a raise. Strong for an additional one power point. Makes the spirit roll to shake off the effect at -2. So basically, yeah, he's two dice down on his toughness.
Toughness isn't done in dice, so I'm going to have to assume it's 2 points.
Ah, right, okay. Is toughness a trait?
Toughness is a derived statistic.
Oh, okay. In that case,
it's derived from vigor, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, could I?
So you could take his vigor down instead.
Yeah, okay. My apologies. So yeah, I'll take his vigor down two dice.
Yeah,
and,
that might have other anticipated benefits, mightn't it?
And yeah, so his spirit roll to shake it off will be at -2. I think it's 3 rounds.
So yeah, you flick your card and that sort of ethereal image of it, you know, carries on traveling through the window and yeah, clips Bryce and seems to hit him fairly solidly, it would seem. So next is... That was Jebediah, wasn't
it's
it? So Reverend
me.
Allen.
Okay.
As you see Vandergaard, he sees three or four bullets just pass straight through him. And blood spraying all over the window that's facing you.
I will.
Cross yourself.
So I'm going to come up to the door and I'll raise my eyebrow to him and say, the Lord will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who do not uphold the sanctity of life. And I will unleash the thunderclap of the Lord. So try and stun him.
Okay.
So that is a neg two. Faith. So made it. Oh, I didn't make it with a raise. Okay.
Yeah, one off. Yeah, if you got blue banner, you could always edge it over.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah, go on.
So I'm going to use a red Benny, so you get one.
All right, okay, so roll a d6, because who knows? Yeah. You might make it to, if it explodes.
Yeah, it don't make any difference.
Is only one raise the maximum.
Yeah. So I'll roll it anyway, just to see how vehement the Lord is.
Yeah, the fact that it can't do much more, you're probably about 30.
So that was 14, so two raises.
And what does that do to poor old Marshall Bryce?
So it's a stun, so there's a big thunderclap. Anyone that's in, it's a medium burst template. So that was that four. Anyway.
So that's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. If it's centered on him, it won't hit anyone else apart from Jebediah.
Well, I don't think.
I don't think he's there, do I?
Yeah, exactly. You can't see me.
Yeah.
No worries.
It just
no worries.
On him.
I'll give Jebediah a bonus to it, whatever roll he has to make to shake it off, because he is in the building.
It's a vigor roll at neg two.
And what does it do to you?
So they will be shaken.
Shaken. Oh, okay. Can you make me a figure roll, Jebediah? But it's not a neg two. So you get the bonus of being in the building.
Behind a pane of glass.
Yeah, indeed.
Blue
fact, I imagine the pane of glass actually explodes in once, but it's not dangerous enough to cause such a hardened individual as you any damage whatsoever. But I do like the idea that when you come out, you've just got a single sliver of glass sticking right at the center of your forehead.
The size of a pane of glass.
What is it? The safety glass. The whole window pierces my forehead. Figure roll.
You made
it.
Okay, cool. So Marshall Bryce needs to make a vigor roll, which...
At neck two.
Which, worryingly enough... Or Jebediah is just smashed through the floor. Ooh! At neg two, so that's five.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's this clap of thunder. And yeah, it rocks him a little.
You may hide behind the wings of the devil, but he ain't gonna protect you for much longer. That'd be for sure.
And last but not least, I believe, is unfortunately Wolf.
I'm gonna step out here.
So yeah, you get a view of up the street. There seems to be a gunfight going off. You're not quite sure. I would say you're not going to do anything stupid like shoot Reverend Allen, but you're not quite sure who's on whose side.
Okay. I'll start walking up the street then.
So yeah, as you sort of take stock properly, you can see there seems to be a clear two sides to this fight. There seems to be a lot of women at one side, and well, it looks like Marshall Bryce and Reverend Allen on the other. Although you quickly realise that Reverend Allen it seems to be berating Marshall Bryce with these bullets peppering
the
Marshal's office
out of his out of this predicament. I'm going to walk up to the 6 foot under.
Yeah, which is right next door to the barbers.
Order a drink. To the corner and survey the situation.
Fire water.
Okay, Wolf, I think, again, as I say, I'm trying to be mindful of being fair to people and being reasonably generous, because that's what they're for. You can have a Benny for that, because you could have taken the advantage.
Yeah, because if I took the shot, I was going to use a Benny to make sure I hit him from that distance.
So it is a new round. Let me deal to everybody. So first with the Ace of Diamonds is Shelley's gang. Second is Wolf with the Jack of Clubs. Third is Reverend Allen with the Ten of Spades. Fourth is Shelley herself with the Ten of Clubs. Fifth is Jebediah with the Seven of Hearts. Sixth is Marshall Bryce with the Seven of Clubs. And last but not least would be Deputy Vandergarden, who I haven't taken off the turn count, but is now stone cold dead. So let me just...
I think you should leave him there just for the shits and giggles. So
I could just say he twitches, can't I? or
yeah. Creates a pool.
I think it's goodbye, Marshall Bryce, isn't it? Really.
So yeah, first is Shelley's ladies. So yes, they open up wholeheartedly on Bryce.
Or do they?
I believe. I'm going to make a roll, Reverend Allen. I apologise. I believe you can spend a Benny at any time to try and remove Shaken. So yes, seeing as Bryce is further down the rank, but I do think it is only fair to use one of Bryce's tokens. He's spending a Benny to remove his Shaken condition. Because he's really going to be fucked otherwise.
Do they go for him or do they hold, waiting for Shelley?
Well... there's three things here. So first of all, I'm going to make them a group notice roll. Because, you know, I know you've come out and screamed at him, but you have just come out the marshal's
office. I didn't think you'd come out the door, though.
Yeah.
And you...
I'm in the doorway. I haven't come out.
Yeah, you are still in the doorway.
You might see, like, my hat and my belly.
So yeah, I mean, if you're literally still in the confines of the office, I'd envisioned you standing in the doorway.
I am stood in the doorway, so whatever they can see of the doorway, they can see of me. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they're 90 degrees on or if they're at an angle.
Notice roll, they failed abysmally. Yeah. So they will, as you say. There was a chance if they saw you, they might have misinterpreted and thought you were another adversary and opened up on you instead. So they're going to act after Shelley.
They might want to spend a Benny to re-roll that. I'm joking.
Well, do you know what? You can have a Benny for that, Jebediah. I'm not going to do that, but it might be an opportunity that I missed in a more heated combat. So next it's Wolf.
I'm just going to lean on the handrail.
Yeah, so you can literally see. I mean, you probably... you can see Reverend Allen's just sort of in the doorway. But you can see, you know, Bryce is like, you know, got these six people across the road from him, or six women, shooting at him. He's literally got one of his dead deputies by the scruff of the neck, which he's struggling to hold up now like a shield. And he's literally popping his head around and taking pot shots at them.
Yeah, I'll hold with me. I've got my bow out anyway, so if Shelley misses, I'll take a shot. Yeah,
pull your bow ready to. So next is Reverend Allen.
I am going to put up a barrier between me and Bryce.
Yeah, just roll it. If he doesn't die and he does attack you, then I'll ask you what it does.
Yeah, well, it's an impenetrable barrier. It's one area in front of me. It also stop anyone shooting at me.
All right, just roll it in case.
I've thought about that.
That was a very, very ballsy move.
Hold on, let me have a look. It's in seasoned barrier, neck four. Make it. So it's a 1-inch section, 1-inch. Wide, yeah, so one area, wide section of wall. It's got toughness of 10.
You can just block the door, can't you?
I want to be able to step around it. I'm just putting it in between me and him.
Does it look like anything, or is it sort of invisible? And if they're all saying it's invisible and you want it to look angelic and glorious, then by all means, there.
It's near invisible, so yeah, it does look like a warm, glowing light. You can definitely tell something is there.
If Bryce was to look over his shoulder at you, you'd look sort of slightly you'd have an angelic glow to you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, as though I'm stood behind a pane of angelic glass, because it is, you know, it is a barrier in between us.
Yeah, nice. So it's Shelley next. What is Shelley going to do? Shelley's going to... she's going to go for two shots. So that's neg two. So the first shot is three, which would miss. I'm going to let her spend one of the white pool. So yeah, she re-rolls to... for no advantage. So yeah, so she misses with the first shot, the second shot. She will spend the blue bunny if she does not hit with this. Oh, man. So she spends a blue Benny. Five, yes. So that's nine altogether. So yeah, she hits. Damage-wise, 10. So she hits Bryce. His toughness is 4, so that hits him for 6. So 6 is, I think... Sorry, one wound and shaken. I'm going to blur Benny out of the pool for Bryce to remove the shaken condition. So Bryce isn't shaken, but he takes another wound. Bryce is taking 2 wounds so far. Okay. You would see now, Wolf, it is, yeah, it's that woman, Shelley, that you rescued a horse from, so, you know, steps proud of her gang members and fires.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were holding, weren't you? So, Wolf, you fire first, and then the rest of Shelley's gang shoot.
Oh! I'm going to spend a Benny, so can I spend a white one? And that's a D6.
Hold on.
White one, red.